Welcome to Emotional Empowerment, a podcast for emotionally sensitive or struggling people who are open to learning how to use your emotions as a spiritual practice. Hi, I'm Michelle Bursell, and I've taught therapists, coaches, and people around the world how to use their negative feelings to heal their life, and in doing so, eliminated their struggle with anxiety, depression, anger, guilt, and more. Ready to turn your negative feelings into your greatest allies? Then let's start your emotional empowerment journey right now. Hello, everyone. It's Michelle Bursell, and welcome to episode number 10, Shifting from Anxiety to Inner Peace. I just got to say, I can't believe I'm already in the double digits here. We are on episode number 10. Of the Emotional Empowerment Podcast. And again, I just want to thank you for taking time out of your day to tune in. And in doing so, heal, grow, evolve, empower your emotional self. So let's get into today, because today is a big topic and one I'm likely going to be doing more episodes on, because anxiety has become such a huge challenge. I want to go over the statistics briefly because it's important. We have in the US 1 in 5 people with a generalized anxiety disorder. Worldwide, anxiety impacts more people than any other mental health challenge. According to the World Health Organization, they say that almost 300 million people have an anxiety disorder. And the highest levels of anxiety are hitting millennials. So this isn't going away soon. And what I think is important to understand is that before someone gets diagnosed with an actual disorder, the average is 10 years that someone is living with something. We also have statistics that say, you know, everyday anxiety is also increasing. We have 2/3 of the US population worried about the future of our nation, money, and work. So even though you may not have an anxiety disorder, anxiety is impacting a lot of people. And whether that's you or someone else, you want to know how to address anxiety from a place of empowerment and resilience. We all have anxiety. It's normal to have negative feelings because it's the plane that's guiding you to get to your destination. It's the autopilot. And how it's course correcting the plane to get you to the destination. So we have these signals to guide us. Today, it's about understanding why you're getting this particular signal of anxiety and how it is here to support you. Now, because I certify people all over the world in emotional empowerment, it means I get a certain privilege and honor where people share with me what's really going on for them emotionally. And it's really powerful how much anxiety is showing up for people who have even been trained and still aren't able to get rid of their anxiety. This has included doctors, therapists, health coaches, Reiki masters, you name it. Through emotional empowerment, they finally know why their anxiety is showing up and what to do with it. From an empowered and loving lens. It's the same for our students and my personal clients who felt they would seriously never be without anxiety. And they've found a level of inner peace that they did not believe was possible for them. And this is why I want to share that with you, because it is. And I know that a lot of what is happening when it comes to our emotions, we're trying to fix it. And in doing so, sometimes we're unintentionally amping up this emotion. And that's what I want to really speak to today as I get into anxiety. I think there's an important distinction in understanding why a feeling is showing up and how it's there to help you so it can dissolve on its own, rather than you trying every which way to get rid of it or ways to even cope with it, which is a lot of the messages out there right now. Like, how do I cope with anxiety? And I want to give you the opportunity and the lens of knowing that you don't have to cope with this. There is a way to free yourself from anything that is debilitating to you in terms of your anxiety. So I do understand why the focus has been on how do we get rid of anxiety? Because anxiety can take over you when you don't understand it. And you'll feel things like constant worry, self-doubt, a sense of closing yourself in where you limit more and more what you do because of the anxiety it causes. You can feel like you're walking on eggshells because you are accustomed to taking the fault when others are upset. There's a sense of being on alert because you feel like, oh my gosh, did I miss something? Did I get something wrong? And again, this is big for emotionally sensitive people, as I've shared in previous episodes, because you're more likely to feel responsible for how others feel. With anxiety, you can just have this sense of fear or doom. You can also feel overly concerned about what others think of you, especially if you're emotionally sensitive. And you also likely have a strong desire to be the good girl or guy, oftentimes because you don't believe that you are good. This was certainly the case for me and many that I work with. And it's kind of shocking to see when I see these really good people, but they have this belief that you are not good. And then this turns into a self-imposed pressure to prove yourself as enough or be put together as a way to distract people from seeing what's really going on inside of you. And this was one of my main go-tos, was to try to pretend to have it all together so that people couldn't really see the parts of me that were breaking apart inside. And of course, all of this can turn into physical symptoms that really make you feel out of control, such as racing thoughts, rapid heartbeat, sweaty palms, nausea, dizziness. And when your body starts to turn on you, you really feel out of control. And what I know to be true for so many with anxiety is that being out of control is your worst nightmare, because you already feel out of control because your mind won't let up. So today I want to guide you to three main points to help you begin to change your relationship with anxiety to greater health instead of struggle. Will this one podcast totally take away your anxiety? Likely not, especially if you're really struggling. But it's going to start to steer you in the direction of what it takes to create lasting internal peace. So let me get into these three points that I want to cover to start to shift your relationship with anxiety so it doesn't feel disempowering, but instead feels empowering to you. Point number one, control works against you when you feel anxious. As I said, feeling out of control is a nightmare for people who struggle with anxiety, which is why a common therapeutic technique has been to support anxious clients and patients by helping them try to gain back a sense of control. It seems logical. They feel out of control. How can we help them gain a sense of control? So a common therapeutic suggestion is to help clients feel like they have a plan to escape if their anxiety gets too intense. For instance, I've had numerous clients tell me that they've been guided to find ways to duck out of a meeting, or if they're in a store, to immediately look for all the exit signs so you can feel secure that you know your way out. While this can make a client feel more in control in the short term, what I found is that in the long term, this strategy sets clients up to fail and unintentionally can turn people into being really controlling. One woman who came to see me was at wit's end. She had years of therapy and trying to control her anxiety, and it was leading her now to panic attacks. She was so upset because, like, the things that used to make her happy, like throwing a dinner party, were impossible for her now. When she thought about the idea of having people over, she was so concerned, not just about the meal or if people were having fun, but literally if the towel in the bathroom was centered. So of course, with this being her focus, if she were to have people over, her energy was completely scattered. People didn't feel comfortable or really listened to, and the night would feel exhausting to everyone. So this common method actually makes people spin more because you are feeding the ego's need to control everything in order to feel safe. And you can't. You can try, and it will guarantee that you're exhausted. And then you'll just corner yourself in so you don't have to face the external world anymore. You see, all this control is about trying to keep oneself together. And it's this idea that if I can control my environment, then I'm going to feel more together. And it's that pressure that's going to create intense anxiety. Guess what? I would feel super anxious if I felt like I had to control everything on the external because I don't have control over it. Through emotional empowerment, this woman could see that all this control was so that people couldn't see the real her, which she felt was bad, broken, and no good. And this is super common. I'm not saying that if you have anxiety, this is the case for you, but it has been common with those that I've worked with. So this is where the healing begins, by learning to receive these parts of yourself that you try to hide. Because for this woman, the more she allowed these aspects to be seen and understood and even loved, the less there was to hide or control. That's what was really going on underneath. So to begin to create your own shift, just notice and ask yourself, am I trying to control my environment? Am I trying to control others in order to feel more secure or receive approval or gain comfort or feel loved or feel valued? It takes courage to ask ourselves these things. What you gain in return will be inner peace and inner freedom. So if it's the case, just know that that's okay. Now I am aware, now I can see, and now I can ask myself, can I shift my focus from outside of myself or others, and instead give to myself what I'm craving from the outside? Begin there. Let's move on to point number 2 about anxiety, which again, not by coincidence, has to do with control, but this time it's about controlling your thoughts. Now, I'm truly not trying to pick on anyone here. I just want to give a real example of how good intentions regarding our negative feelings are often unknowingly working against our emotional well-being. So this is directly from an anxiety coach's blog. And she admits she still has anxiety, just that she's learned how to cope with it better. And here's what she says. Shift your negative thoughts to positive ones, even if you have to lie to yourself. Now, this is super common advice, right? Shift your thinking to change your life. Now, I see that this coach is trying to be helpful because she's basically saying, hey, don't say mean things to yourself, which I totally agree with. The part I don't agree with is this. In her example, she says, so rather than say to yourself, I'm going to screw up my presentation, say to yourself, you're going to rock it, even if you don't believe it. Now, I'm a strong believer in not lying to yourself or to others, even if it's about having a good intention behind your lie. I also believe there's a sense about trying to manage your thoughts, which can keep an anxious person tripping out because we have tens of thousands of thoughts per day. Talk about not having control. So while these seem like helpful coping tools in the short term, in the long term, you are unknowingly enabling your anxiety, which is why so many people who are offering these tools haven't healed their relationship with their anxiety. They've learned how to cope, and they're doing it better than they used to. And I can appreciate that. But if you're here and listening, it means you are ready to address your anxiety from love, truth, and understanding rather than continue to cope. Here's the deal. When we lie to ourselves, a part of ourselves knows it, especially if you are an emotionally sensitive person. Think about it like when you lie to your children, even when you have a really good reason. I work with couples, and this one couple was trying to hide their struggles from their daughter, who is emotionally sensitive and struggles with anxiety. I told the wife, who is a therapist, that one of the reasons their daughter was struggling with anxiety is because on some level, despite the positive show her and her husband put on in front of their child, their daughter knew something was up. And the truth is, you are teaching your daughter not to trust what she is feeling when you pretend something is different than it is. The more we teach ourselves or others to distrust how we are feeling, the more likely you will have anxiety, because you are basically saying, don't trust what you're feeling, which equates to don't trust yourself and your inner barometer that is coming through your feelings. What you think is the truth is totally off, which is how you become uncertain and second guess yourself. So this happens when we start to get the message from others that our feelings are off. And this is why so many of you who were told you were being too sensitive were actually spot on. But the other people you shared your sensitivity with didn't know how to handle that you knew what you knew, and they wanted to dismiss it. And this is your gift. This is your magic. But we've been taught not to trust it. And it's what we do when we lie to ourselves in order to make ourselves feel better. You are dismissing a part of you that you need to fulfill your destiny. You need all of you. So let's go back to that presentation example that that coach was using. You hear that disempowered anxiety voice say, I am going to totally screw up this presentation. Rather than dismiss that part of you and say, no, we're going to rock it. All right. I invite you to have a conversation with this part of you. So you hear the disempowered anxiety say, I am going to screw this up. Talk back to it and say, why? Maybe an internal voice responds back and says, because I didn't prepare well enough. Okay. Well, A, is that true? It might not be. It might just be your ego standard that says you've got to prepare and prepare and prepare and prepare. Or maybe it is true. All right. So maybe I didn't prepare as much as I needed to because I was busy with other things. Well, the reason I'm being asked to present on this topic is because I have some experience with this topic. So what are the parts I know and can speak to without much effort? And how can I focus there? And is there a way that I can feel supported with the parts I feel less prepared about? So you see, you aren't painting a rainbow over this part of you that's afraid. Instead, you are learning how to address your fear from a place of empowerment. You're addressing it head on. You're looking at it. And then the empowered you, the conscious you, the resilient you will ask yourself different questions. Now, you're not going to be perfect at this at first at all, but you'll deepen your understanding about how to be there for this scared and sacred part of you. I call this inner parenting, learning how you are going to soothe your inner child, this part of you that's afraid. Now, you tell me which parent you trust more. The one that hears your fears and says, you'll be okay, and here's a cookie to make you feel better? Or are you going to be the parent to yourself who actually listens to your fear and is truly there for yourself when things get challenging? Now, the truth is, you may not know how to do that. You may not know what it's like to really be there for yourself, but you can learn. It's why I have created this podcast. I have my mentorship program and certification. It's totally teachable. But it starts with honesty. It reminds me of Brené Brown's Netflix special, The Call to Courage. If you haven't seen it, I totally recommend that you do, because she speaks about this moment where she had to be really honest with her daughter. And her daughter was signed up to do a special relay in her swim meet. And her daughter was not good at that. I think it was the butterfly stroke. She wasn't good at that stroke. And Brené had to be honest with her that she's probably not going to do well. She'll probably be last, but not in a way that was putting her down. It was like, let's look at this. This isn't your best stroke, but there is still an opportunity for you here. And that opportunity is to show up and give it your best, even though you know you're not going to be that great at this. And what it means for you internally to show up when it's uncomfortable and to challenge yourself in that way. So I'll let you watch the special to hear how it ends and to hear the bulk of the story, but it's really powerful. The point is, it was about honesty. Even though it's hard to be honest, Brené could have lied to her daughter and be like, oh, you've got this. You're going to rock it. But that wouldn't have been honest. So you see the difference here? When we lie to a part of ourselves, what we're doing on an energetic level is like patting that scared part of ourselves on the head, giving it a cookie and telling it, you'll be okay. And every time you do that, you will lose trust in yourself. And this is exactly how you lose your inner compass and feel untethered and anxious. This lack of self-trust is what underlies everyone who struggles with anxiety that I've seen thus far. And when your anxiety appears, it is guiding you from an empowered lens to trust in yourself regardless of the external, regardless of what others think. This leads me to my third and final point, which is grow into being comfortable in the uncomfortable. And I got to say, as a society, I think we've done something really unhealthy with the notion of being uncomfortable. I also understand why we did this. You know, my parents' generation weren't so worried about their kids being uncomfortable. They understood that discomfort is a part of life. But I swear, this is a true story. It's a little embarrassing, but it's true. And it has to do with this whole notion of not experiencing discomfort because we know the pain that discomfort causes. Now, when I had my daughter, I was determined that she was not going to cry. Like, I really thought I could have her experience her being an infant and not crying, which means I didn't want her ever to be uncomfortable, meaning I wanted to be there for her the moment she faced any discomfort so she knew I was there for her and loved her and she was well taken care of. And one day we're taking a walk and she started crying and I didn't know why. She was fed and changed, so I couldn't figure out what the problem was. But I was so invested in what I thought was the perfect version of being a parent. I sprinted home with her stroller so I could take care of her so she'd stop crying. And when I got to our house, I realized she was crying because her hat fell over her head and she couldn't see. And clearly, I made it worse by now sprinting super fast to get her home because the stroller's bouncing up and down and she can't see and she's hysterical. And that's when I realized I was missing the point. Babies have emotions and cry when something is wrong, and so do we. So to make sure I got the point that I cannot prevent my children from experiencing being upset, I had twins 18 months later. So having three kids in 18 months ensured that I would need to change my standard and understanding around discomfort, right? So I get it. We don't want our kids in any discomfort. We want to spare them any pain, internal or external, because you know how painful it was for you. But I think in doing so, we are losing the point that some discomfort will happen and is supposed to happen to allow us to grow and learn how to soothe ourselves. So when I hear the stories of millennials that are saying that they felt anxious going to the post office, that thinking about finding a parking spot in a big city is making someone feel like they're about to have a panic attack, or how college is becoming too anxiety-producing, I get how, as a society, we set it up this way to do to our own discomfort with discomfort. Another true story, my friend literally told me how her second grader came home and told her how he was anxious. She said to him, "What's anxious?" He said, "You know, when I'm at school and I didn't know how to do something, my teacher asked me if it was making me anxious. And I thought, yes, I must be anxious because I don't know how to do it right." And doing things right is what gets you acknowledgement and likes on social media. So there isn't room to be a human who has to get uncomfortable enough to learn and in the process mess up, fail, or look foolish doing so. Worse yet, for the younger generations growing up, it's captured and put on social media. And then you feel like, wow, now I really am the fool. So yeah, the stakes have gotten really high for this generation. I mean, holy crap, I am so grateful my teen and college years were not for all eyes to see. That would be very scary. That would have taken my already insecure self that wanted to be liked and accepted to a whole new level, seeing everyone else's life have it together except for me. So yeah, people are more anxious because our lives are supposed to be Instagram worthy all the time. And if they aren't, well, there's more reason not to trust yourself because something must be wrong with you. So you try to get your life more together by external standards, of course, that can be posted, and you mess up and then trust yourself less because you failed or fell short, and then life feels more and more overwhelming with more things to make you anxious. So I'm not trying to blame it all on social media or our discomfort, but I think it's an important piece. And the truth is, we can't slap a filter on life to make things look better, but it's how we've been ingrained to socialize in ways. Some parts of our life are really hard, really, really uncomfortable, and super challenging. But we don't have to define ourselves based on that challenge, nor live our lives in a limited way. We just have to be willing to face it head on, discomfort and all. And when you do, you will be internally molded to feel internally stronger, clearer, and more resilient than you ever thought you were. A life worth living is a life that is willing to get comfortable with the discomfort. Because in that discomfort, you'll find greater love, greater intimacy, greater vulnerability, authenticity, freedom, power, and yes, inner peace. These uncomfortable experiences are what will build your trust in yourself. So my invitation is twofold with this last point. One, let's collectively change our language around being uncomfortable. Rather than say, this makes me anxious, try out, this makes me uncomfortable. And the truth is, it probably should make you feel uncomfortable because you lack experience with it. That's it. Secondly, give yourself the grace to allow yourself to learn how to do something. Because when you were learning how to walk, your caregivers did not say you suck every time you fell. They cheered you on every step you took forward. So cheer yourself on for allowing yourself to be in the arena of life, as Brené Brown puts it. Usually, when I put myself into a new arena, I say, what the heck did I get myself into? I get anxious. I tell my clients and students the goal isn't to get rid of our anxiety. It's to understand how to work with this energy to guide you back to inner peace through deeper trust in yourself and life. Today, I had my own anxiety about sharing this anxiety episode because I can imagine how difficult some of the things I shared may sound, especially if you don't know me or the emotional empowerment work. There's still a part of my ego that wants to be liked, which tells me, don't upset the apple cart. But this anxiety leads me to a place of peace. And I make peace with the fact that even though this information may rock the boat for some, I stand by saying the boat needs rocking. Our current understanding regarding emotions needs to change. And if this can help someone else, like it has others, I've got to share it. And that's how we find our way back to our truth, our power, and peace. And understanding the parts of ourself that still have its fears, but you stand for a deeper truth, regardless that there's that little fear coming through your ego that wants you to stay safe. My point of all of this anxiety is that it's there to teach you to create a new relationship with yourself in all the ways I mentioned today. Of course, it goes much deeper than what I covered, but this at least gives you some guidance as to start to understand anxiety with a different light that leads to a healthy relationship instead of the coping. As you follow this inner empowered model of anxiety, you'll more quickly be able to recognize how the divine wants you to trust yourself so that you can take your unique steps in the world with peace in your heart and with joy in the freedom of being who you are meant to be. I'm wishing you much love as you have the courage to reclaim your emotions as your gift an innate power. I look forward to seeing you next time. Take care. Thank you for listening to the Emotional Empowerment Podcast. If you've enjoyed the program, please leave us a rating and review on iTunes to help us spread the message about how to use your emotions as a tool for spiritual and personal growth. To receive free training in emotional empowerment, visit www.iiee.training. That's www.iiee.training.